We were speaking for a few days from Radha Sudhanidhi in verse number 13, describing the beautiful lotus feet of Radharani and how Krishna is like a honeybee, Marupate Sri Krishna. And then Saraswati Pad, Prabhudananda Saraswati, he ends the verse by saying, he says, Ashrayami, he says, oh Radharani, he says, Paramashitalam Ashrayami. I take shelter of your supremely cooling lotus feet. And maybe this is some breeze from Radharani's cooling lotus feet, which is coming from Radhakund, where Radharani is manifesting as Radhakund. And then he explained it from Krishna, because Krishna's bowing at Radharani's feet and offering his head there and praying for shelter and for mercy and for relief. Because if you're hot, you want something cool. On a hot day, you want a cool drink. If it's a hot day, you want to go in an air-conditioned room. But Krishna's heart is burning in a fire of intense desire. And Radharani is showing an unfavorable mood. So he's submitting at her feet and taking shelter, ashraya, taking shelter there. Then Saraswati Pad, he's saying that I also take shelter there, but I'm not burning in an intense fire of erotic desire or smara tapam ugram, but I'm burning in an intense fire of separation from you, Radharani. The aim and ambition of my bhajan is to attain your service, Radhadasyam, your eternal service. And in Gaudiya Vaishnavism, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is teaching the principle and the practice of Radhadasyam to realize it can be other stahibhavs, but most of the members of the Gaudiya Sampradaya are followers of Radha, worshippers of Radha and Krishna in a mood of madhurati, conjugal love. So this, just to wrap up this verse and go to the next verse, there's a beautiful bhajan in Bengali at the end of the chapter by Haripad Shila. He Vrindavaneshwari Hari Chitta Manohari Nitya Nava Nayan Abhiram He Bhano Kula Chand Tomara Padhara Vinda Premamrita Makaranda Dham. There's a summary in Bengali of the same shloka. O Queen of Vrindavan, Vrindavaneshwari Radha, O Enchanter of Hari's heart, Hari Chitta Manohari. Chitta means the consciousness, the heart, the very core of our existence. Manohari, that he steals it. Krishna enchants and captivates. Radharani enchants Krishna's heart. You give ever new pleasure to the eyes. O moon of Banu Maharaj's dynasty. Hey Banu Kula Chanda. Your lotus feet are the abode of nectarine honey of love. Prem Amrita, Makaranda Dham. Ugra Smara Nala Tape, Utapita Hoy Habe. Shri Harira Sarvendriya Gan. Smara Tapa Nirvapane, Ride Dare Se Charane. Marupati Brajendra Nandan. When all the senses of Hari, who is like a bumblebee, and he's the prince of Braj, Brajendra Nandan, are burning in the horrible fire of lust, Krishna holds your feet to his chest to extinguish that fire. Hey Radhe, Dutipad, Bhakti Koti Sampad, Sarva Shrestha Sukhaniketan, Bhani Sri Prabodhananda, Sehi Se Paramananda, Para Padme Loinu Sharan. And that translation is this. And this is the author, Prabhudananda Saraswati. O Radharani, O Radhe, your feet are the treasure of all the devotees, and they are the highest abode of Sri Prabhudananda. He takes shelter of those lotus feet while singing this song in the topmost bliss. So this is a new verse, text 16. And this describes the bashfulness or shyness of Radharani, two of her qualities. Her shyness and one aspect of her intense love, which is called Mahabhava Vilas. Rupa Goswami Pad, he lists 20, 25 qualities of Radharani in Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu. And the ninth one, the Radharani is the very form of Mahabhav, which means the greatest intense love, attachment for Radha and Krishna, for Krishna. So that in Sanskrit it says, Laja, Laja Shila. And she's always very shy. And this, of course, is in traditional culture of India. Shyness is considered one of the sampat, one of the attributes or wealth of a woman, is her natural shyness. Of course, nowadays things are a little different. But traditionally that was considered one of the attributes of cultured women, to be shy. And Radharani, she is the emporium of shyness. And that will be revealed in this verse. And she's also the... She has this quality of Mahabhav and Laja. Laja means shyness. And this Mahabhav is defined by Rupa Goswami as acutely eager to manifest the supermost excellence of intense love, topmost level of ecstatic love. Mahabhav Parama Utkarsha Tarshani. This is Sanskrit explaining the thing. There's the translation. First, I'll read the verse in translation. Text 16. Parangli nahita dristim apatra pishnum durad udiksha rasikendra mukendu bimbham dikshye chalat paragatim charitam biramam jankara nuparavatam vatakari radham. Translation, English. When can I see Radha displaying this enchanting feature of her character as she shyly looks down at her toenails upon seeing the moon-like face of Krishna, the king of relishers, and as she steps along with jingling of her ankle bells? So this is a particular scene here. That this devotee is seeing in his own meditation. He's meditating on Radharani and Krishna being together. And Radharani's seeing Krishna. And this is because everything is rather indirect in Krishna's Leela. There's nothing, nowadays everything's so forward and direct that people, there's no shyness in when people meet. So Radharani's seeing Krishna standing before, and she looks down at her toenails. This is an expression of shyness. You even see today, if you live in a village and move in a village, if you're walking in the opposite direction, you're walking this way, and some young village girl is walking to the field, maybe to take care of her animals or whatever. She's going out there, and from a distance, you know, people are looking where they're going. They're looking like this, see where they're going. And she'll look from 300-400 meters, you're seeing, oh, there's some young girl, late teenage girl. But then as she gets anywhere within 100 feet, she starts looking down like this, or looks like this. It's very, coming from the West, it's rather unusual to see such. This is shyness. Though this is some man, this is some strange person, or it's not my relative or my father or brother or whatever. So then she, automatically, oh, look, the eyes are looking straight. And then it's a very nice gesture. Because in a Western country, Western people, we grow up and people look, you know. The guy sees some girl, he looks at her, and they're just... and maybe looking at each other, you know, and they just look, and then, you know, love it. We have a phrase, love at first sight. They have these phrases you see, and you fall in love, or... So I guess they don't want to fall too quickly in love in India. They want to take a little slower process. Love at first sight. Usually love, it was arranged marriages in the older days, not so much what they call love marriages now. So there's some pastime, there's a Leela. This is one verse, but this verse is an excerpt from a pastime of Radha and Krishna's. A very sweet and intimate exchange they're having. And a few moments of that exchange is being depicted in the Sanskrit verse, which has appeared in the meditation of this Siddha Mahatma, of this perfected Premi Bhakta, this lover of God, Prabodhananda Saraswati. He's meditating and seeing this beautiful Leelas of Radha and Krishna and writing about it very poetically in Sanskrit. Of course, we don't have access to Sanskrit and really understand very much, but it's very poetical and beautiful. This is a classic book. It's been existing for 500 years, and it's studied by the Nimbark Sampradaya. The members of Nimbark Sampradaya, they very much appreciate this book. And Radhavallabha Sampradaya. In fact, the Radhavallabhi Sampradaya, Radhavallabha from Vrindavan, not the Vallabha Sampradaya from Gujarat or Jatipur, but Radhavallabha Sampradaya, they say that one of their acharyas is the author of this book. But generally, the author is attributed to Prabodhananda Saraswati. You'll find that everywhere, especially it seems in religion pursuits, there's always two of everything, and the original one, or the old one, or the new one. At any rate, the book stands on its own. So he's absorbed in his internal consciousness. He's meditating on Radha and Krishna's Astakali Leela. And suddenly he's thinking of the Leela, then suddenly it kind of, it's almost like you're meditating on Leela. You're watching, say you're watching a television show and you're trying, it's TV and it's not in focus or a camera, and you try to get it in focus. And then you can, once it's in focus, you can see clearly what's going on and maybe. So he's, when you're first meditating, you're just meditating on the scene or the particular pastime or time of day. But then sporti means that you actually enter in. This comes to the level of love of God or bhava. One has sporti, which means a very deep and profound, almost seemingly realistic vision in meditation. So he has such a divine vision, a kind of direct perception of another one of Radha Madhava's sweet, loving pastimes. What time of day is it? It's morning time. It's 6 o'clock to 8:30 in the morning. It's called Pratak Leela. And it's in Nandagram. So Krishna, he's in Terakadamba with his friends, all his coward friends, and they're in the Goshala. They're milking the cows. Or maybe in Terakadamba, they're just outside milking the cows. And then Srimati Radharani, she has some parrots. Like nowadays we have email and SMS messages to find out what's the news, what's happening here and there. But they didn't have such communication systems. But communication systems are always there in every culture. Humans communicate. Even animals communicate. So she has a fleet of parrots that communicate, because everyone knows that parrots can talk. You can train a parrot to speak. Polly wanna cracker. Huh, right, they have this phrase, English. They have some intelligence, and they can hear something from you and repeat it back. So Radharani's parrots are so intelligent that they speak Sanskrit. They're not ordinary parrots. They can speak Sanskrit. They can not only speak Sanskrit, but they compose shlokas, verses in Sanskrit, to glorify Krishna or to glorify Radharani. Vichakshana, they have names like Daksha Vichakshana. Daksha means very expert, and Daksha means very expert. Vichakshana means very expert speaker. And Manjubhashani means very charming speech, Bhasha, Braj Bhasha. Speaks very charmingly. They all do, actually, but. So these parrots have flown by Terakadamba and they've seen Krishna. And they come back to Radharani and they said, oh, listen, you know, the Radhika. And Krishna also has his parrots. And Krishna's parrots, what do? They go and find out what Radharani's doing and tell Krishna. And Radharani's parrots go and find out what Krishna's doing. And they tell Radharani. So this is... Krishna's there, he's milking the cows along with his coward friends. And he hears from his pet parrot, while he's milking the cows, his pet parrot comes and tells him, oh, do you know Radhika? She's gone to the Yamuna to take her bath, early morning bath. So the Yamuna, in the old days, not now, but Yamuna used to flow, because Yamuna's course changes so much. And it used to flow by Nandagram and Barsana, and go down to Govardhan, and then from Govardhan turn. Even there's a village south of Govardhan called Yamunamata. Yamunamata means Yamuna, because it was right on the banks of the Yamuna. And they have very special dirt there, yellow pila miti, yellow dirt, which is very good for growing flowers. Here the dirt is all black. I mean, just here we bought some of that dirt over here, but most of the dirt here in Radhakund is black, because Radharani likes everything black. Radharani likes everything which is dark blue. She has pet deer, but not spotted deer. She has black deer. And she likes to wear kajal, we say mascara, around her eyes, because it reminds her of Krishna. She feels that, oh, Krishna is surrounding my eyes. Eyeliner and all that stuff ladies wear. And she wears a dark blue sari, like the color of Krishna. And her favorite night of the month, there's 30 days in a month, there's Purnima, there's Amavasya, dark moon. That's Radharani's favorite day of the moon, dark moon. Because there's no moon, it's very dark and black. So Krishna gets the message, oh, Radharani's gone to the Yamuna. So then on the pretext of admiring the gardens around Nandishwar Parvat, Shyam leaves he goes and he rushes to the Yamuna to meet Radharani. Meanwhile, Radhika has arrived at the Yamuna, and upon seeing the dark blue waters of the Yamuna River, another name for Yamuna is Kalindi. Kal means like black. Kalindi. Kal. So Kalindi is dark blue in color. So Radharani comes there and she sees the dark blue color of the Yamuna and something happens. Just by seeing that water of the Yamuna, she immediately sees the beautiful dark blue face of her beloved Krishna in the waves of the Yamuna. And then she becomes agitated by remembering Krishna. She becomes agitated by intense feelings of attraction and love. Suddenly, in the distance, she sees, Radhika sees that Rasikendra, the moon, the beautiful Krishna, the relisher of Ras, the king of Ras, she sees his moon-like face, and she becomes somewhat stunned in bliss. And she responds by timidly glancing down at her toenails. Seeing this beautiful expression of the sweet, attractive Shyam makes, and the shyness, when she sees him, she's so much loving mood. But when Krishna sees the shyness of Radharani, it showers Krishna with waves of joy. Because these are all different moods of love or different moods. Men have different moods, women have different moods. So Krishna is relishing this. And some other acharyas say that Radharani, she's looking at her feet, which is expression of leisure, shyness, but she's also very clever, because women in general are very clever. That's one of their qualities. So Radharani is Vidagdhi. There's Vidagdha Madhav and Vidagdhi Radha. Vidagdhi means very clever, very intelligent and clever. So she's seeing Krishna coming from a distance, and she becomes so attracted. First she saw in the water of the Yamuna, she saw the color. She's so much always absorbed in the thinking of Krishna. She sees any slightest thing that reminds her of Krishna. Immediately her heart flies to Krishna. Her mind becomes absorbed in Krishna. This is called Udipan. Udipan Vivav. There's some stimulant in the environment. And we have the same thing. For example, a mother may have a son, and the son has gone away to school, say college or whatever. A young man. But he was, when he was in high school, he was a soccer champion or whatever, played so much soccer. And then she goes in his room and she sees his shoes, his soccer shoes. And then she sits down, oh, I remember my son was wearing these and he played in this championship and this competition, national competition, and he won the trophy. And she's in a reverie. She's just seeing the shoes. She sits down. How is he? Is he all right? Oh, I want to call him. I want to talk to him. So that night she calls her son. What's going on? Is that? Because she simply saw shoes. And then she's sitting there and she may become so absorbed and worrying about, she's crying. And somebody comes in the room, her husband, and sees her crying. And she's looking at some shoes. and crying, and someone will think, what is this? You know, why are you crying? Oh, never mind. Because no one can understand another one's heart, other's heart. It's difficult, unless you're really one with that person. If you're really one with the person's mind and heart, then you can understand. But that's love. And of course, that's rare in this world. But nevertheless, this experience is there. So Radharani, we also see the Yamuna. It's also very dark blue, especially in the wintertime. We lived there before, down that side. And the way the light of the sun is in the winter in certain angles, when the Yamuna's, you go out where the sand is, and right where the moon, the Yamuna looks so dark blue, very, very dark blue from a distance. And you get closer, it looks green, brown, whatever. But from a distance, it really looks blue and very attractive, like a sapphire, like a blue sapphire. So Radharani, looking at the Yamuna, immediately, oh, this is Krishna. She looks in the Yamuna, she's looking, oh, Krishna, Shyam. Generally, when people look in the water, if it's very still, they see their face reflected. And this happened to Krishna when he was in Dwarka. When Radharani was looking, she's very clever, Vidugdhi Radha, so she's looking at Krishna and she becomes shy. And she just keeps looking down at her feet. And Krishna becomes extremely attracted to that feature of Radharani. And he's getting closer and closer, and she's still like this. But she's clever because she's looking at her toenails. And we already heard that Radharani's toenails are more effulgent. They're more effulgent than thousands and thousands of polished mirrors. You know, mirror, darpan. So she's looking at her feet. She's looking at her toenails. And because when she was glancing in a distance, she saw one beautiful face of Krishna. And she became so shy. And her heart was palpitating. And her mind was racing with attraction for Krishna to meet him. But then she has this laja. She has this quality of leisure, shyness. So then she looked shyly down at her feet. But when she looked at her lotus feet, there are ten polished mirrors there. Five polished mirrors on her right foot and five. So when she looked down, she instead of seeing one face of Krishna, she saw 10 faces. So on the pretext of being shy before her lover or before a man, a woman looks down, oh, my lover has come. She's seeing, so that increases her attraction even more and increases her love even more. I was seeing one Krishna, but when I look down at my toenails, I'm seeing 10 Krishnas. And Krishna, so she's thinking, this is wonderful. Krishna, I'm fooling Krishna because Krishna thinks I'm showing a posture of shyness, looking at my not looking. He's coming because he heard from a parrot that I'm bathing in Yamuna. So he left his milking business and he's come to meet me and be with me, associate with me. And I see, oh, he's coming from a distance. And I was seeing one Krishna, now I'm seeing 10. This is very, my Krishna said, oh, Radharani's so shy. She's afraid to look at me. She loves me so much. Just see this tender expression she's displaying. This really captures my heart. But actually, she's drinking Krishna's beauty of 10 faces. So Krishna's thinking one thing, oh, she's afraid to look at me. And Radharani's thinking, I'm looking at 10 of your faces. This is a side point that I mentioned. By surprise, Radharani saw Shyam's face from a distance, and it moved her heart with exciting waves of love, which made her behave in a particularly captivating way. So the cause of Radharani's emotional response is seeing the radiant moon-like face of Krishna. Krishna is described in this verse as Mukendu. Muk, we say Mukunda, name for Krishna, Mukunda. And Mukendu means, Endu means a ray for the moon, like a moon ray, Mukendu. We have Induleka, Induleka Saki is one of the Ashtasakis. So Mukendu means his face is like beautiful, like the moon. Full moon is very soothing to look at. And it's satisfying to look at and creates a very soothing and cooling effect on the brain. And they say if you're a little disturbed and you look at the moon, you may get more disturbed because you become a lunatic. But generally, the ordinary person that has some mental balance, if he glances at the moon, then he feels pacified. But now it's funny because Radharani, she's looking at the moon, Mukendu, and she's becoming agitated. Because that moon of Krishna's face, is the very source of her joy, the source of her life. So when she sees Krishna, she's thinking, oh, the life of my life is returned. The reason for my existence is coming before me. So she becomes very, very happy. Cooling light. So then why does the author, he says that Krishna's Mukendu, then he says he's Rasikendra. Mukendu, Rasikendra. So Mukendu means Krishna has his soothing, cooling light coming from his face. But then he's Rasik Indra. Like Indra means Lord or King. So he's Rasikendra means, what does it mean? Means he's a connoisseur, the Lord of all relishers. Rasik means someone who has bhav, someone has intense love for Krishna and attachment for God. He can relish ras, bhakti ras. When he reads Shastra, when he chants the holy name, when he hears Leela, or he enters into Leela Smaran, remembers Krishna's pastimes, then he can relish the rasa there. It's the flavor, the taste of love, the taste of spiritual love. And that enervates his whole being, and it energizes his whole subtle aspect of him. His mind and heart become energized to such an extent that he starts to experience transformations in his body, due to the impulse of love, spiritual love. And extraordinary transformations are called sattvic vikar, asta sattvic vikar, hair standing on end, choking in the voice. And of course, some of these asta sattvic bhavs, these physical experiences, occur even in ordinary emotions, in emotions that we have in this world, in fear, in love, in danger. If you're walking in the night, and suddenly five dogs surround you and start going, ah, like they're going to bite you, you see your hair will stand on end. physical expression is not due to the impulse of Bhagavan Prem or Bhagavat Priti. The cause of that transformation of the body is fear. It's some mundane sentiments. There's transcendental sentiments which arise from the Atma, and there's mundane sentiments which arise from the Chitta, or the material consciousness. And both the material consciousness and this Atma are both packed up in the body. When the soul gets free from the material body, he receives his Siddhadeya, and he is the Siddhadeya. The soul is the Siddhadeya. The soul is a spiritual body, Satchidananda Vigraha. There's no inside and outside. There's no bones. Spiritual body has no bones and no casing and no all these gross coverings. As you go up higher and higher in the universe, this is Bhuloka, then you go Bhurloka, then Bhuvaloka, then you go to Maharloka and Janaloka and Tapaloka and Satyaloka. There's seven planetary systems above this earth and seven below. As you go higher, higher planetary systems, the human-like form, as we see it, becomes more and more subtle. Just like you dream, and you have a body there, and you see other bodies, and you do things. Even a man dreams of a woman, and he passes semen or whatever, gets agitated. A woman dreams, a child dreams of some tigers chasing her, and she wakes up, she's perspiring, and her physical body is registering so many things. So and there's a body in the dream, and you're doing things, and there's a tiger in the dream, all these things, but it's all subtle. Is there bones in your dreams? It's a real body. It's called a mental body. The linga sharira and shukshma sharira. So now we have this linga shukshma, this gross and subtle body packed up together, and the atma is operating out of both of them. The Atma, the spiritual particle, is operating out of the gross body and subtle body, linga sharira and sukshma sharira. But if you go higher, as you evolve higher up in the universe to higher planets, then sukshma sharira is no gross body, it's only mind. It's only linga sharira. So what is functioning when you're dreaming? Your linga sharira. And there's activity, there's people, there's places, there's action. Yes or no? No? You ever dream? Yes. So it's a real body, it's real life, and it seems so real. And you wake up, you say, well, that's too good, I want to go back to sleep. Because this shukshma shrir, the grossness of shukshma, this body is so much, not much going on here. It's a real struggle for existence and working and paying bills and hardships and challenges and disappointments and frustrations and hunger and pain and disease, and it goes on and on. When I dream, it's nice. But that also becomes, you hear a nightmare? Nightmare means a bad dream. So there's a good dream and a bad dream. When we're awake, there's a good dream too. And there's a bad waking dream and a good waking dream. And a bad sleeping dream and a good sleeping dream. But the commonality is, it's all a dream. So now, the soul is functioning sometimes in this gross body. When we're functioning out of material consciousness or the citta, then we have sentiments and our hair stands on end. The dogs are chasing us. But when we leave this gross body and we enter into our citadeya, the citadeya has mind. It doesn't have no bones and blood and all this. The spiritual body, it's a linga aspect, linga shirya, subtle body, because it has mind, intelligence, but there's transcendental. Spiritual mind, spiritual intelligence. And the inside, there's no inside and outside the citadeya. The entire body is consciousness. A body of consciousness. It's like you have a body. When we're dreaming, we have a body of mind. You follow? The physical body, we're there, but we're not working with that or interacting. So the realized souls, when they come to the level of bhava, the siddhas, the siddhas in bhakti, they come to bhava or prema, pure love of Godhead. They exist, they enter into their siddhadeya, their spiritual body, which has no inside or outside. It's all consciousness, pure consciousness. It's made of prema, satchitananda, ladini shakti is there, the ananda shakti. So then they experience sentiments. So they appear similar. One person's sitting crying, another person's next to him crying. I'll give you an example. There was a person giving a lecture. He was giving a Bhagavatam class. And he was speaking on 10th canto about Radharani. And one lady was coming for 7 days to hear Bhagavat Saptaha. And she was, every day he was speaking something about Radharani and Radharani this, that, and Krishna. So she was crying. And he was thinking, she's really absorbed in this katha, this Harikatha. And she must be very advanced, and she's relishing this katha. She's having some septic bhav, ashru, crying. So after the katha was finished, he approached her and he said, Mataji, you're very much relishing this Bhagavad katha. And what inspired you of the Harikatha, and what was your experience and this and that? And she said, no, I'm here because it's a very good thing to do to hear the Bhagavatam. You get lots of sukriti and punya. And it's very purifying, and it's a good thing to do. So I'm coming here. But actually, when I was looking at you every day and speaking, he's a married person, Grihastha Goswami speaking. You have like this little mustache, and you have like this little beard here, like hanging like this little bit, and all nothing here. Like, we say in English, in America, they say goatee, goatee. And just a mustache and little like this, and there's nothing here. So I was looking, and that was reminding me too much of my. I had one pet, and I had a pet goat. And that goat, that goat was female, and her name was Radha. So I would say, Radha, take some, carrots and take some lettuce or whatever they feed. I don't know, whatever they feed, bread, this, that, to the goat. And I was looking at her, and she just died a few weeks ago. She got old and died. And as I was looking, I said, your little beard looks like her little face and little hair hanging down. And you kept saying, Radha, Radha. So I just was so attached to my goat, I was crying. So she's having some sattvic bhavs. She's having some transformations of heart. She's seeing something that reminds her of something, her goat. And she's hearing something which reminds her of something, her goat. And she responds by an emotional response. Her heart becomes perturbed, and then she and her body gets influenced by the uprise of emotions and displays those emotions by crying. So then the pure devotee, he's sitting chanting japa. And he's meditating on Radha and Krishna's Madhyan Leela. And the gopis enter the Radhakund, and Krishna's there, and there's some pastime where Krishna dives under the water, then he goes to hide in some flowers, amongst some blue lotus flowers. Then Radharani doesn't see him. She becomes separate. Oh, where is he gone? And then the gopis, they're joking with Radharani. They say, oh, he's gone home. Shama's gone home. He's gone home. And Radharani starts crying. So now the pure devotee's chanting, he's meditating on this pastime of the sadness of Radharani and that mood of separation, viraha. Then he starts crying because his heart becomes so distraught. Oh, Radharani's suffering and she's feeling separation. I'm feeling that suffering of Radharani because she's my Swamini. Because this person, this pure devotee, is in Manjri Bhav, Gopi Bhav. So he's Tadatmika. He's one with the heart and mind of Radharani. Just like an expert servant. An expert servant is what, of course, they don't exist, but ideally, the expert servant is one with the mind and heart of his master. So much so that he knows what his master wants before he asks. Prabhupada once gave the definition of an expert disciple, or say brahmachari sannyasi, or brahmachari, or guru and disciple. The expert disciple, he knows what the guru wants before he asks, and he does it. And the second class disciple, when the guru asks him to do something, he does it with enthusiasm and full heart and energy and dedication, everything. Gives it 100%, whatever he can. Then the third class disciple, he gets an order from the guru and it's like, oh, I have to do this seva. Do I have to? Can somebody else do it? He begrudgingly, somehow or other, maybe does, maybe doesn't, carries out the service or the requested, carries out the request. So obviously the servants of Radharani and the level of prema, they're first class. The mantris, they're first class, and the sakis. So that's described also. So he's also crying, and the lady is crying. So one person is crying, remembering Radharani, because he has bhav, Radha bhav. He has madhur bhav. He's realized his stahi bhav, his eternal relationship with Radharani and Krishna. He's sitting in this external body meditating, but in his mind he travels in his siddhadeya, his spiritual body, which is perceived and realized. Then he enters the lila and he's actually seeing, oh, Radharani's crying. Oh, and then she's crying. And then those tears are coming out of this external body. You follow? Now, just like you're dreaming of a tiger chasing you, and you're frightened, that's a rasa. That's bhaya rasa. This bhayam, bhayam. That's a rasa. It's one of the secondary rasas. And you're dreaming and you're very fearful you're going to get eaten. So then you're perspiring. So that experience is disturbing your heart, and then your external body is showing what you're experiencing in your mental body and dreaming, and you wake up, you're covered with sweat. You follow? But that's all material. That's material rasa, material experience. It's all to do with your karma and your mundane identity as man, woman, etc. So it looks the same, but it's totally different. One experience is rising from the Atma and from God and from the level of pure love of God. And the other experience is rising from the body, material body and material identity, and one's karma. But the end result is that those sentiments which rise up, they are expressed through the physical body. But the difference, you follow? So he's in his siddhadeya, and he's seeing all this. Whenever Krishna meets with Rasavati Radha, and he sees a wonderful display of her intense feelings, then he relishes and tastes various ecstasies or ecstatic mellows of love. Rasaraj Sri Krishna is meeting Rasamayi Sri Radha on the banks of the Yamuna, which is actually the liquid Premras expansion of Ishaka, Radhika's confidential Sakhi and dear companion. So there's one Shastra which explains, the Goswamis explain, that we hear that yogis can change their form. And you read, not only from our line of thought, but there's many Vedic scriptures how a yogi, he can change his form. And even sometimes we read that ghosts, bhutas and pretas, pretas and ghosts and pishachas, all these subtle beings that have no gross body as we know it. We say ghost. In general category, in English, we say ghost. But in the Sanskrit, there's different types of these subtle beings. They have names, prates, pishachas, and bhut, B-H-U-T, bhut. And there's different characteristics of each one of them. And they create different effects. And they inhabit different places. It's quite an interesting topic about the subtle world, subtle reality. And the Vedas go into deep study of all these things. I mean, Western science, we of course appreciate what they can do. Microphones and telephones and all TVs and all these things. But as far as the deep depths of all the sciences, the Vedas are an unlimited reservoir of knowledge yet to be revealed and understood by the Western scientists. Gradually, some things are understanding. But so the point I'm making is that yogis can change their form. And even a ghost will sometimes enter a dog or sometimes enter a cat. They often take the form of a cat or dog. Or they can, if someone's extremely intoxicated, a ghost has a subtle body. He wants to get a gross body to act and move. So he enters into the body of an intoxicated person who's, well, you say, strung out on drugs. And then he takes over that. Then his mind, because ghost means mind, intelligence, ego, material identity. I am a being. I am a being of this material world, subtle being or gross being, living entity. Then his mind, if he's a very powerful ghost, he takes over the mind of that weaker person. He's like, you're a king, and I come and defeat you, and I take over your kingdom. I sit in your chair. I sit in your kingdom. I get worshipped by your people or whatever. Take taxes from your people. So a more powerful entity, he takes over. Then all of a sudden, the guy comes out of his stupor of intoxication, starts speaking funny, acting funny. And then, of course, psychiatrists, they say, oh, there's some, you know, he has this disease and that disease, and they have all different names for it, psychosis or I don't remember all the terms. But we have a different idea, and not that everybody that's crazy is ghostly haunted, but many people that act in crazy, funny ways, different than they did the day before, is because a ghost has taken them over. So similarly, as yogis can change their form, a yogi can be in a human form. He's a yogi. He can become an animal. He can become Agasura, a snake. He can become a donkey, Danakasura. He can become a huge bird, Bakasura. They have these powers. And then Krishna's Leela, these are all yogis. They're human beings, and they took another form. Why did they take another form? Some of you know about Krishna Leela. And why did the associates of Kansa is the anti-party, he's the atheist, and Krishna is the theist, he's the anti-party. So Kamsa wanted to kill Krishna. The demon wants to kill God. The atheist wants to kill God, annihilate God. So Kamsa wanted to kill Krishna. So why did all these friends of his, he had all these very advanced and powerful friends who were yogis, and he conquered them. Kamsa was so powerful. He conquered them, and they became his servants to carry out his wishes. So why did all these yogis that he sent to Vrindavan come as animals to kill Krishna? The answer is that the first demon that Kamsa sent to Vrindavan to kill Krishna, as soon as he got the news that this little baby was born, he sent a demon to kill Krishna after 6 days. Krishna was 6 days old in Gokul. And he sent a demon who specializes in killing children. Because some, just like some people specialize in extortion, and some people specialize in arson. You want to burn somebody's house down, you hire this guy. If you want to murder somebody, you hire that guy. You know, the specialists, exterminators. So this particular personality was expert in killing children. And she was a woman, interestingly enough. And she was a witch. And her name was Putana. So she came to kill Krishna. But was she successful? No. Krishna killed her. So when the news came back that this most powerful Pishachi is also a type of subtle being, Pishachi, witch, Putana. Because Putana means Putna, right? Putrana. Putra means child, or means son. Putri means daughter. Putra. So na means no putra, no son. And put also means hell. So she was like a hell, she was like personification of hell, Putana. Because what a hellish occupation. She would go, her occupation was killing babies and sucking their blood. Interesting. Like vampire, right? She specialized in children. That was her favorite. So she, when the news came back to Kamsa and Mathura, that this most powerful Pishachi, Putana, who had killed so many demons and she, very powerful, she didn't come back. She was killed. Then when Kamsa asked his other yogi friends and asked his other powerful cohorts, can you go kill Krishna? They said, well, we're definitely not going to go as humans. We're not going to go in Manush Roop. Because the first one you sent went as a human being. She was appeared as a very beautiful human, like a demigoddess. And she got annihilated. So we're going to disguise ourselves. Because Krishna, he's a coward boy, he's a village boy, and in the village they have donkeys. You've seen? So many donkeys. And in the village they have snakes. And in the village they have ducks and birds. And in the village they have, what else do they have? Huh? They have bulls in the village. They have cows and bulls, you know, Bale and Guy. And they have, what other demons were there? Huh? I said duck. Duck means bird. Ducks are birds and snakes. So then all the, one yogi after another, they came disguised. Because snakes can easily move through the village. But when that witch came, she was a human being. Okay, she can move. But and she moved nicely. But now if some human being comes that's unknown, because she came and she was unknown. Putana was a human form and she was unknown, but she looked like a demigoddess. She was so beautiful. And all the coward men were like, wow, who is this? We heard from Bhagavari Rishi and Shandilya and Durvasa. When they narrate the Puranas, they say sometimes the demigods and the celestial Swarga Devis and Tilottama and Uravasi, they come to the earth, and sometimes they would marry the earthly kings in the ancient times, and they would live here. Maybe this is a Swarga Devi. She has come to take darshan of our Lala. She has come to take darshan of Gopal. They're all just looking, wow. And she's walking, you know. Because they're coward people. They're just, you know, they're people of the village. They're not like fancy, you know, Delhi people, you know. Like, you know, from Bombay and like latest fashion, latest hairdo and jewelry and everything, right? You know, they're just, the ladies have a bani. And then this lady, she's sparkling with a celestial effulgence. I've never seen such a person like that. So 5,000 years ago, it's a village. It's the same village. Anandagram, I mean, rather Gokul. And this lady is not just some Bollywood, you know, whatever. So, you know, a real celestial Swarga Devi, the real thing. So Putana was a witch. She disguised herself like that. And they all said, oh, maybe it's Lakshmi Devi. Maybe it's Parvati. Maybe it's Arundhati, Sachi. Oh, and she said, may I see your baby? I would like to hold him to my breast. And they said, yeah, go ahead. He's in this crib. You please, you go. And everyone said, please, you go. And she walked in and grabbed him. And then, you know the story. And Krishna killed her and liberated her at the same time and made her a nurse in the spiritual world. He said, oh, you want to be my datri? You want to suckle me on your breast? You want me to be my mother, like my mother? Okay, I accept that. But you want to kill me? Huh? Eh? I don't accept that. You want to love me and kill me? Okay, I'll take your love. But hey, wait a minute. My gun is faster than yours. So then Krishna takes her intention and kills her and promotes her. And she got a spiritual body as Krishna's datri, nurse. So this is his vatsalya, his compassion. So after that, all the yogis came as animals, came in as snakes and bulls. And then the coward boys would play there, and they go inside these big snakes. Oh, this is fun. It's a big cave, Krishna. I say, hey, wait a minute, the mouth is closing. Hey, Krishna. Well, this is a side point. But now where are we? We're at the Yamuna, and we're talking about Vishakha. And we're saying that Vishakha is a Sakhi, Radharani's confidential Sakhi. So she's changed her form. She hasn't become a demon. She hasn't become Bakasura, Agasura. She hasn't become a witch. What has she become? She's become a river. A river of love. Liquid love. And so she wants to do everything she can as Radharani's confidant. She wants to do everything she can to please Radharani. So what pleases Radharani most? Well, if you're Radharani, you want to be reminded of Krishna. And if you're Radharani, you want to enjoy with Krishna in Vrindavan. You want to serve Krishna in all kinds of ways in Vrindavan. So then Vishakha became the Yamuna River in Vrindavan. So when Radharani looks at the Yamuna, oh, Sham. When Radharani enters the Yamuna and has boating pastimes, Noka Bihar with Sham. And she has Jalkeli, splashing pastimes. And so many pastimes she has. What to speak of collecting water? How many times Radharani comes to get this Yamuna water and puts on her head? Then Krishna comes and interacts with her in these pastimes. So this is Vishakha. So she's rendering this, says it's, she's a liquid Prem Ras expansion. This is Yamuna, Vishakha. So these are two of the wonderful, glorious qualities of Radharani are being described here. So this verse is describing the most glorious divine qualities of Srimati Radhika. Two of her qualities. I mentioned Lajashila, her shyness or bashfulness. And number 18 is Suvilas. She's very fond of enjoying pastimes. And she means that, and also means she's enjoyed by Krishna. It means she's playful, and she's expert in enjoying life. Vilas. Vilas means pastimes, means enjoyment. And ultimately, vilas means sangam, sangama, means intimate union. So Saraswati glorifies these two qualities by saying, and this is a comment on the verse, on the Sanskrit words, Charita Abhiramam, which means enchanting or charming character, like we say Chaitanya Charitamritam. So Charita and Abhiramam. Abhiramam means enchanting or charming character, pleasant. Hare Krishna. Pleasant behavior. And Charita Abhiramam also implies that Radharani's her character trait, her behavior, actions, and movements of Radhika gives the ultimate satisfaction and pleasure to Krishna. So each word of this verse is glorifying Srimati Radharani's qualities, Guna Mahima. So he's saying that we already heard about her shyness, and we heard about, now we're hearing about Charita Abhiramam. Charita Abhiramam. That her charita, her characteristics, her behavior, actions, her movements, her speech, everything she does gives pleasure to Krishna. If you take this to the adhyatmik vichara level as a sadhaka, Radharani has these characteristics. That everything she does, her movements, her speech, her thinking, gives pleasure. Her charita, charita means, like we say, Chaitanya Charitamrita. It means the life of Lord Chaitanya, the teachings, the character. So the character, what is the character? The character means your behavior, your movements, your speech. From our level, we can think, are all of my movements, are all my words and speech and my thoughts and actions, are they all giving pleasure to Krishna? Because this is Uttam Bhakti, Anukulyena Krishnanu. Anukulyena Krishnanu, Anukulya. Anukulya Krishnanu Shilanam. Then it says, this is Uttam Bhakti. Anyabhilashita Shunyam, Jnana Karma Dhinavritam, Anukulyena Krishnanu Shilanam Bhakti Uchate. So Uttam Bhakti means this, that the purest, topmost expression of love is that everything we do is kulya, anukulya, anukulya. Moment after moment, anu, we're expressing favorable expressions and activities and movements for the pleasure of Krishna. This is pure bhakti. Usually we do that sometimes, where we act favorably for Krishna's happiness, but not all the time. So this is describing in this particular word. And why is this is given as this is one aspect of Radharani's character which distinguishes Radharani from all the other damsels of Braj? Because she can fully satisfy Krishna's desires, or satisfy his desires to the fullest extent. There's thousands and thousands of gopis and thousands of sakis. The Radharani is so expert in all the ways of love and the ways of serving Krishna that she recognizes that. There's another pastime that describes Radharani's shyness. When Radharani, sometimes she's walking to Nandagram in the morning to cook Krishna's breakfast. It's the same time in the morning. 6 o'clock to 8:24. And when she walks, it's described in Govinda Lilamrita. When Radharani is walking from Barsana or from Yavat, when she's in the public, walking on the path, footpath, she's displaying this sulaja, this laja shila, this quality of shyness, that she puts her veil over her face and she looks down. She looks down she's walking down the road like this, and other people are coming this way, maybe some village coward men. But not only is she looking down, but she's even looking to the side. She's walking on the left side of the road, so she's looking at the side like this, and people are going like this. She's just like, and her sakis are all around her like this. But as soon as Radharani, as soon as she gets in the forest, when she goes into the van, into the forest, and there's no coward boys there. It's just a small footpath, and all the footpaths in Vrindavan have such beautiful names. They're not called roads. They're not called rasta. They're called gully. Gully. Gully means very, very small. Like only when you go and go over down Prikamark, the inside mark. There's one place where you're walking, and if you have a guide who knows his way, then at a certain time he'll go inside. It's a secret entrance, you know. And then when you go inside this path, then the path is only this wide. It's only this wide. This wide. Some little bit of dirt. And on either side there's some weeds and flowers and lattes growing like this and like that. And it goes for some time, maybe 15 minutes walk. And then that path ends and you have to go outside. And that all you, when you, if you're standing in that path, we were just there. What was it? What day? Sunday? No. Today's? No.
Friday.
So when you're on that path, on your right-hand side, you see Govardhan. Govardhan is there. And from the path, all Govardhan, all trees and plants and peacocks and parrots and very beautiful. And left-hand side, it's all trees and lattes and everything. And then you go further, a few hundred meters, then there's the road. And when you look there, you look to the distance, straight along that path, all you see is big neem trees and palasha and arjun, so many trees going up like this, and all covered with parrots. And if you just go like this, you don't even see the road, just go like this, say, ah, this is Vrindavan. This is Vrindavan. Beautiful pastoral setting, so green and so attractive. And then And if it's very early in the morning, you may see some Nilgai on the Govardhan. And so these tiny little footpaths like I'm describing there in Govardhan, they have names. Like Prem Gully. Prem Gully, the road of love, the footpath of love. Man Gully, the footpath of love silk or sulking or pouting. And then Prem Gully, Man Gully, Dan Gully. Dan Gully means that footpath which Radharani gets taxed on. The Krishna stops Radharani, stop me. Hold some ropes across the road with some coward boys. You have to pay tax. You're carrying these heavy, big pots of yogurt, and you're passing by here carrying so much cargo. So much cargo. You have to have some interstate tax. You have to pay interstate tax. You just crossed the state boundary. You crossed the state boundary from Barsana to Govardhan. You have to pay some tax. Boundary tax. Octroi. Octroi. And Radharani says, since when are you the tax collector? Well, who made you the tax collector? There's some joking goes on. Don Kali Komodi or Don Kali Chintamani. There's two books by Rupa and Raghadath. And it's very much, so these are the footpaths. So Radharani is going on one of these footpaths. What I mean to say is, she's on the main road in Barsan or going to Nandagram. Then she's looking like this. When she enters these footpaths, then she has... Like we said, she has her veil like this, no? She's looking down. Her chunari is like this. And as soon as she gets on the footpath, she goes, she's like this, and she's looking at her sakis this way, that way, and then she starts looking, where is Krishna? Where is Vrindavan Chandra? Where is that? Where is that Rasaraj? She's looking in the forest, you know? So this is Radharani going to Nandagram. She looks down and she never looks at any man at any time. All rights reserved for her Priyatam Sham. Like they have this in front of books, they write this sometimes. Copyright. So and so. All rights reserved. So all rights are reserved for Priyatam Sham. Sri Krishna holds the full copyright over Radharani's body, mind, and heart. No one else can take that copyright. So now Radharani takes a few steps. And then when she takes a few steps, it makes her ankle bells jingle. And these beautiful loving expressions are called Bhavalankaras. Because the very form of Radharani is Mahabhav. So Radharani's every movement and gesture, it's a little inconceivable from our level, but Radharani's every movement and gesture is an expression of her intense love, her Mahabhav. As we say, Mahabhav Sarupini Radha, that her sarup, her form, is nothing but Mahabhav. You can see this in Chaitanya Charitamrita, I was mentioning the other day. Krishnas Kaviraj quotes a poem from Stavavali by Raghunath Das Goswami, and there he describes all the features, Radharani's eyebrows, Radharani's lips, her fingernails, her hair. Everything about her body is an expression of love. And he describes a different, one is vilas, one is suvilas, this, that, kila kinshit bhav. So many, it's incredible. Very deep and high understanding. And it's all for the pleasure of Krishna. So Rupa Goswami, he also defines one such bhavalankar, which Radharani shows in this pastime. And Krishna's Kaviraj describes it in Govinda Lilamrita. And this is a further understanding of her charita, Aviramam. And this is mentioned in this commentary. It's just a citation from the Chaitanya Charitamrita. This is called, from Ujjvala Nilamani, Rupa Goswami says, when the steps, sitting posture, face, and eyes of the beloved become extra special because she is meeting her lover, it is called vilas. Vilas means there's changes in the eyes, face, walking, sitting, upon meeting her lover. And so this is the same thing happening in the kingdom of love, in the kingdom of pure love and pure exchanges between Krishna and Radha. There are all these wonderful features of vilas. So vilas, we see Rati Vilas, we see this term, there's a change in the woman's eyes, face, walking, sitting upon meeting her lover. And Prabhupada translates it like this, because this verse is there in Chaitanya Charitamrita also, and Madhulila chapter 14, verse 87. The various symptoms manifested in a woman's face, eyes, and other parts of her body, and the way she moves, stands, or sits when she meets her beloved are called vilas. So this is what Radharani is showing here when she timidly looks down at her toenails. How sweetly she looks. It appears that sweetness personified is rushing from her body. This is further, in other words, we're trying to deepen our experience of what Radharani appears like. And this particular feature of her character and feature of Radharani's beauty is so much attractive and compelling to Krishna that it's one of the 25 qualities, guna mahima, of Radharani, which control Krishna and satisfy him. So we can see from this that we've heard something about the cause and effect in relation to Radha, how seeing Krishna from a distance is a cause for various emotional responses and effects. So the question can be asked, what effect does Radha have on Krishna? Because we heard how Krishna affects Radharani. She sees him and she looks shyly. So what effect does that have? So when Krishna what is the effect on Krishna? When he observes all these wonderful displays of sweet loving sentiments, then Krishna tells this. Krishna explains in his own words. Krishna's Kaviraj is explaining, how does Krishna feel? And how does he respond to all that? And that verse is there from Chaitanya Charitamrita. And this is from same chapter, verse chapter 14 of Madhulila, verse 179. So now Krishna, he's seeing Radharani showing shyness. And how does he feel? What happens? How does he feel? What impression does that make in his heart? And how does he respond to that? And he says, E bhava yukta deki radasya nayan sangama hoite sukha pai kotigun. When I see these beautiful moods of vilas in Radharani, this laja shila, she displays this shyness when she first glances at me. When I see these moods of ecstatic love in Radha's face and in her eyes, I get a million times more pleasure than by direct union with her. And just see, who can imagine how much pleasure Radharani is pleasing Krishna, because every expression is filled with Mahabhav, and Mahabhav is the topmost relish and taste of divine love. That Radharani is the queen of Mahabhav, and she offers that to Krishna at the time of union, at the time of seeing, or any association with Krishna. She's satisfying him to the utmost degree. So he's directly speaking here. And Prabhupada is giving us this Chaitanya Charitamrita to help us understand deeply the exalted level of Radha and Krishna's pastimes, of how much they relish each other and how much they please each other. So again, if we look at this from our level, the response of the sadhaka, the reader of Radharas Sudaniti, because the response is here by the author himself. He saw this wonderful pastime, which we hope to see in some future lifetime or some future when we become so pure that we can see the pastimes of Radha and Krishna. Because what is the goal of bhakti? The goal of bhakti is to realize Krishna. Realizing Krishna means seeing Krishna, feeling Krishna, entering the spiritual world and spiritual body and rendering service there. We're serving here in Sadaka Deha and we'll serve there in Siddhadeha. Direct experience. This is the goal, the sadhya. Prema means action. Prem lila, prem seva. So this is the goal. So he's at that level and he's showing us what we'll experience at that level. But then, what's happening? It's Saraswati Pad, Prabhupada Saraswati, Prabhupada Nanda. He returns to external consciousness. And then he kind of enters into this plane. He leaves this sporty, The sporty leaves him or he leaves it, either one. He loses that sporty. Then he says, oh, now I'm in this body. I'm sitting here. I was in that such a special space. I was granted, Yoga Maya took me there to the special place. And I was seeing this and doing some service there, which he doesn't mention, but he just, his service is to identify with Radharani's feelings and to be there and relish all this. So what happens? That he hankers to see that pastime again. So from our level, from our viewpoint, we can remember these enchanting leelas like he's remembering by his mercy, and we can pray for the day when our eyes and minds will be blessed by experiencing Krishna's sweet behavior and character, Charita Abhiramam. And then that's how he prays here. He says, Vatakari Radham. He says, alas, O Radha, when will I see this Madhur Leela, this sweet divine pastimes of my Swamini Sri Radha? So this is the hankering. Even when one comes to the level of prema, he has direct experience in this body, during meditation, entering Siddhadeya, experiencing a sporti or visporti of Radha and Krishna's pastimes. But he goes into the Leela, then he comes out. That's such a high experience. We see Narada Muni was so absorbed in Bhakti Bhajan. And he was blessed with a momentary darshan of Lord Narayan. Lord Narayan said, you will not see me again. You'll have to hanker for me. And so much he was hankering, so much Utkantita. This is told in the first canto of Bhagavatam. But we're coming in the line of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. We don't read specifically that Narada Muni was under the guidance of the six Goswamis, or Narada Muni was under receiving the blessings of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. He was chanting his mantra. What was the mantra that Narada Muni was chanting? Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. And he got darshan of Vaikunthanath, and he attained Vaikuntha Prema by his sadhana. He attained Vaikuntha Prema by the mercy of the great devotees. So, what's the similarity here? Well, we also have mantra. We've received mantra from Guru. But have we received this mantra? We received a mantra which has been surcharged with Braja Prem. Our mantra has been surcharged with Braja Prem by Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. He has given the Maha Mantra in the age of Kali, in the Kali Yuga. And this mantra is Nambhajan, is so powerful that even in one lifetime, one can come to this level of prema. In this very lifetime of chanting, 5 years, 10 years, 5 months, 10 months, 10 years, 20 years. That such power is there. All the power, everything is there. Purnashuddha Nityamukto. So with the possibilities of what we have, the possibilities that we have as Gauranga's followers, as Gaudiya Vaishnavas, is much greater than Narada Muni. And his process is a lot more simple. Simply we have to chant Nam Bhajan. And one can come to this level. So that, like Saraswati Pad, we can hanker, oh, when will I see this Madhurya Leela, sweet pastimes of Radha and Krishna, of Lajeshri Radharani ki jai, Suvilas Radhika ki jai. So the can read the verse translation again. There's another translation here. Casting her eyes towards her own feet in timid shyness, when she sees from a distance the radiant moon-like face of the Lord of all relishers, Rasikendra, Radha's footsteps resounding with tinkling anklets, such a pleasant character and behavior. Oh goodness, when will I ever see such a Radha? Kada, kada. So this is the hankering. Like Prabhupada said that the devotees are optimistic pessimists. He said a devotee is an optimistic pessimist, which we discussed in another class. He's very optimistic. He's very pessimistic about material prospects and material possibilities. Not much Like they say, it's getting better. The materialistic people say it's getting better all the time. Isn't it? It's getting better all the time. I'm getting older all the time. Every day, every year I'm getting older. I'm getting more and more diseases, more and more weak. And I'm getting closer and closer to death. It's getting better all the time. Well, we're not so foolish to think like that. By Guru's grace, we have a little higher conception, Krishna conception. And we think, and we're pessimistic. We say, no, actually, this is a place of suffering, repeated birth and death. We should not try to make a permanent settlement here. Rather, we should try to find a ways and means to leave this place and enter some divine kingdom of eternal love, saturated with knowledge and joy, and the spiritual kingdom, the kingdom of God. So we're optimistic about the spiritual possibilities, and we're optimistic about the spiritual prospects. And this is what Bhakti Bhajan is all about, and as I mentioned in the other class. So the possibility of attaining this great fortune is high, there's a high possibility by chanting Nam Bhajan.